Hey everyone, welcome back to Sophomore Citizens. I'm Gigi.
I'm Liesl.
And I'm Lily. So today we Los Angelinos are experiencing something that we are really not used to, and that is a full-on rain, thunder, lightning storm.
Stormy Webster and Stormy Daniels got together. They were in the same room and they concocted a storm.
Yeah, and they're here.
I would say that this is like excessive rain.
I have only ever experienced anything like this in Wisconsin, which obviously has intense weather and you can expect that from her. But like in LA, I am completely thrown off my game. I did not realize we were going to be meeting this baby that Stormy Webster and Stormy Daniels produced. And I don't think I like her.
And even like last night, the rain that I was hearing in my room, like on the roof and on the windows, was more intense than I've ever experienced in my time of having the room that I have, which is over 10 years.
Right. And like, it's not that we haven't had crazy rainstorms in LA. Like we have every once in a while had some pretty wild rainstorms, but it was the way that like at the strike of midnight, more or less, the like rain just descended, and it was not raining or rainy at all prior to that because we were, you know, out and about. Like we were not perceiving any rain. There was some sunshine like yesterday. And then last night, right around midnight, like right as I was about to go to sleep, I just hear like this whoosh. And I thought that maybe Gigi had turned on the air conditioning because that's kind of what it sounds like. And it kind of like, you know, rumbles the house a little bit. I was like, why is Gigi turning on the air conditioning? And then I was like, oh no, it's the rain. And also just the thunder and lightning, I don't enjoy either of those things. And thankfully they didn't keep me up. Usually rain does help me sleep though. So I do kind of enjoy that. And our dad even said that in his part of town, it was hailing.
That doesn't surprise me.
I feel like it was definitely hailing last night. Regardless, I mean, I think all of this goes to say that we are not exactly huge fans of stormy weather. Maybe we can all appreciate it on the rare occasion when you know, get to enjoy being inside and watching a movie and baking cookies, whatever. Like it, you know, we can appreciate it every now and again, but I would say on the whole, you know, the three of us are not exactly fans of this kind of bad weather. But I have a friend who said he really likes a storm every now and again. And that if it were up to him, there would be a monthly storm. And I literally said to him, I was like, listen, what you're not understanding here is that's essentially like the weather having its period. And because you have no frame of reference for what having your period is like, you don't know how much it sucks when your period's on your birthday, or when your period just comes at the absolute worst time when you're supposed to go to a pool party. Do you want a pool party during the storm? Do you want a storm on your birthday?
Right.
No,
right.
You don't.
Right.
So it's like, as much as in theory, it's like, ah, yes, like a little stormy time once a month, like a cleansing, if you will. Sure. Ha ha. Okay. Not until you actually live that and you're like, this is the worst. It always comes at the most inopportune times.
Yeah, totally. No, that's actually so funny. And you told me this before. And I remember thinking that your observation that would be like the world having a period, like if it was like a storm once a month, it would be a way for like everyone to definitely experience what that's kind of like. But it also reminds me of a quote from, I believe, 30 Rock that I always thought was so funny, where one of the characters says that he never farts. And once a year he goes to the top of a mountain and for like 2 hours straight just farts it all out. And then he doesn't have to fart throughout the year. And just, it's like a dumb quote, obviously, but I kind of wish that with rain and yucky weather, like I'm the type of person that like, I would want to fart it all out once a year and then have the rest of the year be beautiful and wonderful.
And this is like everyone has to deal with the long storm.
Yeah. And like, maybe it would come at a different time each year so that not to like ruin anyone's, you know, birthday or celebration like every single year. But so like, you know, each year we would choose a different week, and that week the earth could get out all of her storming, all of her snowing, all of her windy, all of her, well, actually that might be a little bit too scary for people. Well,
that's just what I was gonna say, was to me, there's a very big difference between like rain, yucky weather, and the storm that we are experiencing.
Right.
Because I kind of like the rain. I like the vibes it produces. I'm not mad at rain here and there. But the storm is scary. I don't like that.
Also, like, people like snow. People want snow for, like, their various sports.
And, like, this is obviously just, like,
hypothetical.
Completely impossible because...
Okay, but, okay, hypothetical. If you could have your period, let's say, like, let's say you have your period... How many days? Like 5 days times 12 is 60. That's 60 days. If you could if you could have your period 60 days straight and then not have to have it, would you? I wouldn't do that either.
No. I would do it.
I would not.
I would do it in the winter. Like, because it would just be so much more convenient to have.
That's 2 months straight. I don't want Liesl, 2 months straight of my period. 60
days? And make the world's period almost 60 days too.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think with that, we should get into our topic for this episode, which is a beautiful ending to this not so beautiful year that we call 2020. So we are going to begin by going through some of our favorites, least favorites, best, worst of the year, etc., that we have thought about ahead of time.
I would also just like to say, and I know that this isn't anything groundbreaking, but I do just find it amusing that, like, at least, you know, with the culture that I interact with, it is pretty mainstream to, like, believe as a hive mind that 2020 was a bad year.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know when the last time that happened.
Yeah, that there's like a universal. That there was a collective
like
agreement
on it being a bad year.
Yeah. I think that with 2020, I have to quote I believe Charles Dickens, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
You think there was the best of times?
Well, the thing is, I do think that we also collectively will end up looking back on 2020 with some nostalgia.
Oh, totally.
Like the experience that we've had together as a globe.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. We've had this experience as the entire world together against the common enemy of the coronavirus. Yeah. And like, we have all like stayed inside. We've spent family time. We've gone on walks. We've worn masks, like all of these things. Like, we will one day like look back kind of fondly. So that's why I say it's the best of times. It was the worst.
That's
of times.
Actually pretty true.
Because like, were some really fun times too. And like things that like we never had. Also, as we've talked about a lot, the gratitude that we now have for normal life. It's like, we have a whole new understanding of what we have to be grateful for and all that stuff. So I think looking on the bright side, of course, 2020 is the worst year ever, but it also is bringing a lot of beauty
totally,
as well.
Totally. I think not only are there some genuinely like positive things that have come out of this time for a lot of people, it'll also at one point kind of be a meme. And like, right. You know, I know right now I don't want to be too lighthearted about this time because it is of course like a really tough time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But like the idea of having to stay inside all the time and like wear a mask all the time will at one point become kind of a meme.
Yeah.
And we can all kind of look forward to that time where we can kind of look back on this and reflect on it in both a positive and negative way.
Yeah, Liesl, I can agree. There were some great things that came out of the year. And also being that it felt like the longest year in the whole entire world, and I absolutely cannot believe that it is now the end. Like, what is time? What happened there?
Yeah.
We had to have some good in there because this has been the longest year I have ever experienced.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny just how much we all tend to neglect January and February, like as if they weren't real.
Yeah. I mean,
it to me, it feels like this weird vortex of time.
It is
in
super...
between 2019, which I feel like is such a block of time, and 2020, which I identify with as starting around March 13th, Friday the 13th, when everything for us in the United States, like really just started to go down. But like all of those, that time before then was totally normal.
Yeah, I would say, and I've said this before, I'm not sure if on the podcast or just in my life, I was abroad fall of 2019 and I came back to America the very end of December. And like, that time, especially because abroad is such a, like, you know, chapter in my mind of time. So like being back for January, February does also feel like a chapter of sorts, but it is just so funny that like that really is a vortex of like such a weird chunk of time.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's get into our best and worst, favorites and least favorites. So our first category is song. Gigi, tell us your favorite, best, whatever song of 2020.
So unfortunately, I really struggled to think of like one song. And so I chose a couple of artists, which I know is like not what we were supposed to do, but I'm sorry, that's just what had to happen. So I chose for myself Tame Impala, which they did come out with a new album, either
they or he.
He. It, there's that's
it's such a confusing thing. And I would really love if there's some wise babies out there who can provide some clarity on this. Like, are we supposed to refer to Tame Impala as he, one individual, but it's not just him. There's other people who are contributing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't really know because, like, as a performance piece artist, it's more than one.
Yeah.
But then, like, and obviously the people producing the music, it's more than just Kevin Parker.
Right.
So, like, I know.
And here's my thing is that their Tiny Desk concert was three people.
Yeah.
So like, I'm sorry, Tiny Desk is like you in your truest form. Like Billie Eilish, she was there with Phineas. Like,
well, that's not entirely together. True because like Tyler the Creator had like 15 people back there.
Oh wow. You're right.
But regardless,
okay.
This whole dispute is, you know, something we can talk about at another time. Even though there is conflicting information on this, depending on who you talk to, depending on what, you know, articles you read online, like, it's just such a confusing thing.
And like, Kevin, just let us know. Kevin, this is to you.
What are your preferred pronouns?
What are your preferred pronouns? Are you in a band or are you a solo act? Thank you.
Okay. Then other artist who I would like to give credit to is Megan Thee Stallion, because she is just like a symbol and icon of 2020 in my mind. And like, I chose her, as an artist, or like the reason I kind of went the artist route is because I can't even choose one of her songs. Uh-huh. Like whether it's Savage, whether it's WAP, whether it's Girls in the Hood, whether it's, you know, any of these songs, like it's literally so iconic 2020 that like I couldn't just mm-hmm. choose one.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Lisa, what is yours?
I chose Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa. Listen, I thought about Megan for sure, but I am including her a little bit later in a certain type of way. So I didn't want to include her. And I was thinking pretty generally. And I also like about Don't Start Now that I'm pretty sure like that came out in what? Like January March. Or February? Or
It was like
towards March. Like it for me kind of bridges the gap of 2020's vortex mode and real like pandemic 2020, which yeah. I kind of like.
Actually, to be fair, I think you are correct. Like her album was supposed to come out, I think, like right around COVID time.
Yeah.
And I think that single probably got released a little earlier.
Yeah.
So you are probably right. Lily, what is your song of 2020?
So I also didn't follow the prompt. I picked an album.
Okay.
Which I picked Circles by Mac Miller because that embodies, like I think I listened to that the most in 2020. I also looked at my Spotify Wrapped to make this decision, and all of the other music I was listening to a lot didn't come out in 2020, and this one obviously did, and just feels like it embodies 2020 for me personally.
Okay, interesting.
Beautiful. And I will also say, like, as far as with all of these best and worst, I feel like for all of us, like sometimes we were choosing our own personal best and worst, and sometimes we were trying to keep everyone else in mind and keep in mind the trends. So it's just kind of a smorgasbord of like what we thought, you know, kind of represented 2020, both for us and for everyone in general.
Totally. And that represents the year as a whole, just smorgasbord of yes, best, exactly. Worst, everything else. Yeah.
Okay, worst song?
Okay, I'm going to start. I chose Yummy by Justin Bieber because I think it's so really annoying.
That is such a good one.
I also chose Yummy by Justin Bieber.
Gigi, oh look gosh. At us!
Because listen, it's not only that I think Yummy is a bad song, but I like require more from Justin Bieber.
I was just going to say, to follow it up, like I can't name all the other songs Justin Bieber came out with this year, but one of my personal favorites is Holy. That song, in my opinion, was great. For Justin Bieber to have started the year with
you got the yummy, yummy.
Oh my God, so
like,
whiny
you
and
kidding?
Bad.
Yummy, 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 yummy. Like,
no.
Yeah. So monotone and not musically. I don't want to dance to that at all.
No,
not at all. Yeah, no, that's actually like, that's the most accurate for sure. I also hate that, like, that song just like makes me think of fucking Hailey Bieber's Punani. Like, disgusting. Disgusting.
I don't know why you had to bring that up.
No, but because we're talking about how awful the song is, and I can't help but mention the fact that that's what's yummy. It's not ice cream. It's not pizza.
Liesl, I have hated that song without thinking of that. And somehow you just put that into my mind, yeah. And maybe I hate it even more. Yeah.
Liesl, what's your worst song of 2020?
My worst song is Savage Love. Savage Love. I don't like that
song. I don't like that song either.
I don't like that song.
Honestly, sorry. I really like that song. I have nothing against that song.
Okay. Shall we move along to movie?
Yes. Yeah. Start us off, Jay.
My best movie of 2020 is Parasite. Now, I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
I had a feeling it would escape both of you. And Liesl, when you said, we can't forget about January, February, like, I made sure to tap into January, February when doing my list, because I remember watching Parasite
in 2020.
I think in February, like in my apartment at school. So, and I'm not sure if that's exactly when it, I don't know.
I think it came out in 2019 because it won the 2019 Oscar.
Okay. But it came out. Well, are you sure?
But it came out on Hulu here.
Yes.
Like at the beginning of 2020. So I think that counts.
Right. And for me, I feel like, you know, everyone that I know was watching it in like January, February. Yeah, like, it's totally. Not like I knew people that were watching it in 2019.
Totally.
And I don't know. Also, was it available? Or like, was it out in theaters or something? Or was it? Was it available in Korea in 2019 and we didn't get it?
No, I think it was available in theaters here in 2019.
Okay. Well, regardless, to me, that makes the cut for my 2020.
No, great. I do think that's very accurate.
That honestly might be mine as well, although that's not the one I picked. The one I picked is something that most definitely, certainly did not come out in 2020, but this was a personal accomplishment for me, being that I had never seen any of them and I watched all the Harry Potter movies. So that wins, because I now know the story of Harry Potter, just like most of the rest of the planet. I was a little bit behind and I loved catching up.
Yeah.
Totally. I am really happy for you, Lily, that you finally got to it.
That was a big moment. Like, that was a milestone. I'm so proud that I was 21 years old when I learned who Voldemort was. Liesl?
You didn't even know Voldemort was?
Liesl, I didn't know anything. That's why I'm swiftly moving along to avoid any backlash I'm going to get.
We also did watch the Harry Potter series. I also read the Harry Potter books for the first time this year, which was interesting. But I did get them for free on my Kindle app, just saying, please do not send your money to J.K. Rowling. I hate her and detest her. She's a TERF. And if you need more information about that, please Google J.K. Rowling, TERF or trans.
And people. That's TERF with an E, not a U. Or is it I?
Yeah, no, it's an E.
Yeah, E.
She's awful and I hate her. So please don't give her your money. And also, even little Daniel Radcliffe himself said that he would not do any more Harry Potter stuff if J.K. is involved. So J.K., get your life right. Thank you. Okay. My best movie was My Best Friend's Wedding, which came onto Netflix this year, so I feel like it kind of counts. Gigi and I watched this movie, you know, with no expectations, not huge Julia Roberts fans, like, just kind of, like, threw it on, whatever. And for some reason, this movie has just, like, stuck in my mind and my heart. Like, I just can't stop thinking about it, about everything that happened, about the musical elements. If you've seen this movie, you know.
Well, it is sort of hidden to some, I think. Like, it's not as blatantly obvious as it was to us, Liesl, to everyone. But it was such an unexpectedly enjoyable rom-com that, like, defied all the expectations. Like, I would say one of the main criterion for rom-coms is that, like, you know what's going to happen from the start.
Yeah.
This is a movie where you don't really know exactly how things are going to pan out.
At all. And, like, justice for George. Like, George was the best character.
Justice for George.
I really enjoyed everything about him. And that was my favorite movie.
Wonderful. Liesl, would you like to give us your worst movie of 2020?
Yeah, mine was actually something we watched recently, so I don't know if this is just sticking out in my mind, but it was The Prom on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It had major star power and terrible everything else. Like, the songs are bad, the story is bad, the characters are weird, like, it's pandering. Like,
it's not believable.
It's not believable or realistic at all of what high school is like. There's fucking, like, 30-year-old high schoolers, which I hate. Like, we had to fast forward through a lot. And it's like, Meryl, like, you're my queen. Like,
Nicole Kidman, you're
Nicole,
my queen.
Nicole, you're my queen. Like, what are you doing in this movie?
Is it James Corden in it too?
Yeah, and he's not my king.
But like, I'm just saying, like, you put those forces together. I did not
plus
see
it. More,
like,
Lily.
And
plus
even the butler from Jesse.
Oh.
I expect so much more from him.
I'm so sorry. It was such a letdown. I'm so glad I didn't watch it. Okay, my worst movie, well, I have two. One of them has already been mentioned, so I'm just gonna skip right over it because it doesn't deserve any more time than it's already been given, because we talked about it on a previous episode. The Christmas Night, the Vanessa Hudgens Netflix film, don't watch it. My other one is A Simple Favor, which was the Blake Lively Anna Kendrick movie.
I like that movie.
I wouldn't go as far as to say I like that movie, but I didn't dislike it. Like, you know, it was enjoyable enough.
Like, there's something about that movie, like, it's obviously bad, like, but I think it's intentionally bad. And I think, like, at the end of the day, like, a movie is only bad to me if, like, I want to stop it or fast forward, and I never wanted to stop it or fast forward.
Okay. I mean, I did finish it, but I just
thought
I thought it was bad. I mean, the first one I mentioned, which, again, I don't want to give it any more airtime than it already has gotten, definitely was what you just described. Did not get through it. Didn't last more than just through the beginning. This movie I did make it through, but I just didn't think it was that good.
So I will agree with Liesl. Prom was really horrible. And similarly, I'm like, okay, is it really that horrible, or is it just that it's like fresh on the mind?
Yeah.
And I think it's probably a bit of both.
Yeah.
Another example that kind of falls into this category, but also kind of doesn't, is A California Christmas, which is on Netflix, that Liesl and I recently tried to watch. And so this movie, A California Christmas, is definitely one of those movies that is just straight up bad. Like, it's not even a matter of, oh, Christmas movies are like supposed to be kind of bad and cheesy. Like, this movie was as if a student film was a full 2-hour film, with the worst acting you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Literally no score, no music, no like quality acting of any sort. Monty from Big Fat Liar was in it. And I'm like, girl, where have you been? Like, she did a horrible job in it, by the way. Just the entire thing was like a literal train wreck. And Liesl and I could not, we made it maybe 20 minutes before we just turned it off. Like, it wasn't even like really a scrub through or like, let's watch it. It was like, goodbye.
Yeah.
So that was just really, really horrific and terrible.
Okay. So I think that brings us to TV show. My best TV show of 2020 was All American, which I really struggled.
That didn't come out this year though, right?
No, I think it did.
I know that the first season didn't, because I remember watching the first season. It's about football, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, kids in LA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely watched the first season of that 2 years ago in my apartment at school.
I think the second, maybe it came onto Netflix in 2020, but it was certainly a trending show of 2020, so this is nothing unique, but I just love stupid CW TV like that, and I loved binging it, and like the time that I started it in quarantine, it just did everything I needed. And I think it's a very good looking cast. Our high school was featured in it, so it was really fun for me to get to watch our high school, and overall I loved it, and I'm looking forward to the next season.
Beautiful. I had two best TV shows. One was Normal People, which I think came out this year, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And
it was in quarantine.
Yeah. And we had all read the book and we all watched the show. And I just thought it was such a like true and pure representation of the book, which I think is very difficult to achieve. I really liked both of the main actors. Like, I thought they were really well cast. They did a really great job. And it was just like a really beautiful, lovely viewing experience. And it was one that kind of stood out for me among the rest, among the Tiger King and the Emily in Paris and the Outer Banks of 2020.
Outer, you know, Banks, like OBX.
We watched a lot of shows that are not conventionally good, and I think that Normal People was like a very conventionally good show that came out in 2020. My other mention is The Crown. Love it, beautiful masterpiece. And I think that this most recent season was maybe my favorite, so that came out in 2020 as well.
So my TV show of 2020 is Last Dance.
Oh, Gigi, that's so good.
Thank you. And then my other one is The Crown, which, again, season 4 of The Crown is like incredible, just so fantastic. And so I wanted to give just a little quick shout out to The Crown, because that's, you know, more recent, and Last Dance was definitely more like a springtime show. Yeah. So
that's a really good point, Cheech.
Gigi, what is your worst TV show?
So my worst TV show would be Little Fires Everywhere.
Same.
It was really, really horrible and upsetting. And I watched maybe two episodes before saying, I just can't even begin to continue with this because it is that upsetting.
Yeah, I think I watched the first half of the first episode. I read the book and I loved it. And I hated the show. Everything about it was terrible.
So my worst TV show was a stupid show on Netflix called Sweet Magnolias. I don't know if it's plural or not.
I think, well, Magnolias is definitely like that old lady movie.
Steel Magnolias.
Oh, what did you say?
Sweet.
Oh.
Okay. Nothing about this show.
Although Steel Magnolias sucks too. I hate that movie.
Nothing about this show is sweet though, so don't be confused by the name. It was horrible. There's essentially no plot line whatsoever, and I'm not saying it's like a plotless, like, cinematic masterpiece. Like, no, it's boring, it's bad.
Also, a plotless TV show, I'm worried about.
Everyone should be worried about it, but no one should watch it. I have nothing positive to say, and I don't want to waste any more time talking about this show that I wish I never watched. Okay, moving right along. Liesl, what was your favorite book of 2020?
Okay, well, of course I had three. But I had a feeling there would be some overlap, so I decided to, well, actually, I think someone else should go first, because we'll probably have overlap.
Okay, so I will just, piggybacking off of Liesl's TV show, Normal People does make the cut for me as far as books go. Another book, Vanishing Half, just incredible masterpiece of a book. We've spoken about this book multiple times on the podcast. If you have not already read it, please, please get that book and read it. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite book of 2020 was Percy Jackson. I read this book in like a matter of days, ripped right through it, and like enjoyed every second of it. I don't know what it is about the kids' literature that really spoke to us during quarantine. Maybe it was a fantastical,
need to escape.
We just needed that escape. So that was my personal favorite book of 2020, but I would say my favorite book of all time is The Vanishing Half, which I also happened to read in 2020. So.
Right.
So my favorite book of 2020 is a book I think we've talked about on the podcast called Shadow of the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
And
I forgot that that's what it's actually called.
Yeah, I know, because we always call it Shadow.
Shadow. It takes place in Barcelona. It was one of the first books I read when I began my reading journey of quarantine. And so that holds a special place in my heart. And I just had so much fun reading it, talking about the plot with Liesl, who also read it. And I just feel like it really captivated me in a way that other books did not this year.
Yeah. I would say, so the first two on my list were Vanishing Half and Shadow of the Wind. Shadow of the Wind, just because the way that I read that book was that Lily gave me a summary initially, and she'd maybe
not a summary because she hadn't finished it yet.
That's what I'm about to say.
Oh, sorry.
She gave me a summary of like the first 50 pages of the book, let's just say. And I was so enticed. Like, I was like, Clara, there's all of this scandal, like there's this bookstore, like all this stuff that was really up my alley. So I was like, okay, I'll read it. And I really enjoyed the experience of like knowing what was going to happen in the first 50 pages and getting to experience from Lily's like summary what it was actually like. And then like surpassing Lily, and then I knew the secrets before she knew the secrets. Like, that whole experience of reading that book was so fun. And my other favorite book was The Long Petal of the Sea, and I also really liked Where the Crawdads Sang.
But to be fair, Liesl was talking about how much she hated this book like most of the way through reading it, so it's a little bit of a misrepresentation to just like pop that on the list and be like, great book.
No. So the thing is, like, the first half I really was struggling with, but then I feel like the second half I really, really, really liked. And when I look back on the reading experience of it, I want to read it again, which I do think is a really good mark of a good book. All right, should we get into the not so good books?
Yes, I would love to. Judy, you want to start?
So my worst book of 2020 is a book called The Glass Hotel, which may have also been talked about on this podcast before. It was ultimately not that bad. Like, I even gave Lily like the full storyline, and it was interesting enough when I was giving her the highlights. But it was one of those books that was kind of like laborious to get through, where I'm just like, I just want to be done with this stupid freaking book. It literally was like, you know, in the thick of it, I was like, nothing is happening. I hate this book. I hate these characters. I don't care. And I just want to be done with it. But then by the end, I was like, all right, that was like fine enough. You know, like it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, my worst book of 2020.
Definitely.
Lisa, what was your worst book of 2020?
So I would have included that, but I knew Gigi was going to pick that. So I wanted to pick something else. I unfortunately picked Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer, which is the Twilight book from Edward's perspective. Now, if you're like a regular listener to this podcast, you know that in middle school, I had a big Twilight phase and I wanted to love this book, you know, like I wanted it to just bring back all of the memories. But like, you know, Edward, like as much as Bella has like nothing to say about anything interesting, like Edward has like maybe even less to say. And like, it would have been cool, like, maybe if we had gotten, like, a story of, like, before Edward met Bella. But, like, this is literally just book number one from a slightly different perspective. So, for that reason, and, like, I still read every page and enjoyed it enough to, like, continue reading. But I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, like, my worst book, this is to put no shame to the author who I love, adore, respect. But, like, Obama, your first book, not the one that just came out. Dreams of My Father, it's very old. Well, relative to how old I am, it's very old. Yeah, and just, it wasn't as much fun as all the other books I read this year. And so when you throw it in between like rom-com, fun, suspense, it was a little bit boring. But all my love for Obama, and he's a very talented writer. Okay. Next up, TikTok trend. Liesl, what was your favorite TikTok trend of 2020?
My favorite was the Savage Dance, because for me, I feel like the, for example, the WAP dance, while iconic and amazing and incredible, like that wasn't accessible for everyone to do. And I feel like everyone can savage it out and like do their own variation and like get through it, including all three of us. You know, we have our own little way of doing savage. We learned it, or we taught Lily, like we learned it together. Gigi taught me maybe. And I just felt like that was like that dance. And then obviously the Carole Baskin version, like, I just think it's very emblematic of 2020 for me.
Lily, what is your favorite TikTok trend of 2020?
Mine is the kissing your best friend trend. I have loved this since it came out, and still to this day, when it's no longer trending, I intend to do it, but I have no one to do it on.
So mine, to be fair, is maybe more of an audio than a trend, but like, actually, no, that's, I think
that counts.
I think it is trend enough. Is a yo, something traumatic that changed my life, check. And then just like stupid things happen. Like I just like pretty frequently find those funny, where, you know, the person is convincing enough and trying to make you think that something traumatic happened, but then it's really just something funny. Another one is, if anyone is familiar with the sound that goes, almost heaven.
What?
West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Shenandoah River. And you tell like a really long story with it. It was from like more so the beginning of this year. Another one, sorry that I have three, is he has no lips. How will he get a kiss?
That one's so good.
That one,
Gigi,
is good.
That's a good point. I just thought of some more. I love You Bitch. Turn Around and Britney plays. You bitch, love me. I like that one a lot. And I also like, Gigi and I did the one that's about AP. Is this AP or regular? Like, we did that one so many times that one is also for me a memory of 2020.
Okay, sure. And now let's talk about our worst or our least favorite TikTok trends of 2020.
Okay, what's your least favorite?
Mine is anything if X, Y, and Z, you're pretty.
Oh my God. I totally agree with you, Gigi.
Wait, what? I'm not familiar.
So it's like, if you, like, one that's coming to mind that's like been popular in the recent past is like, you show your profile and it's, if your nose moves up and down while you're like lip syncing or talking, then you're pretty. And you know, speaking from personal experience, I've noticed, like, either in video or, like, even, you know, right now, basically, this was, like, a few years ago, I really couldn't care less about my nose moving from the side, but, like, whenever I've noticed that in myself, I've been, like, oh, that is, like, not my cutest look.
Mm.
And so the idea...
There's also, like, you're pretty if your forehead, your nose, your eyebrows to lips and your lips to chin, mine or not, are equal. Like, that's part of the trend. Like, it's just, like, really...
Lily is apparently pretty.
It's just, like, really immature, like, dumb, like, 12-year-olds, like, making that. Up these stupidest things. Like, yeah. If your eyebrows are the same.
Well, but just to finish what I was saying, like, supposedly if your nose moves while you're talking or while you're lip syncing, you're pretty. But it's, like, that's
that really... That was something you didn't like.
That's something I like, independently didn't like.
Right.
So it's just so dumb and stupid.
So dumb. And even I saw one, like, people were getting the, like, auto-generate thing to say their name. And so it was, like... if Siri or whatever it was, if this person can pronounce your name, you're pretty. Like, first of all, that's, like, so, like, culturally just, like, not cool, because, like, some people are gonna have names that are harder to pronounce because they're from more diverse backgrounds. And that
just has, like, literally no bearing over how pretty you are.
Like, that's just so dumb.
Like, okay, your name is Lauren Smith. Oh, you're so beautiful.
Oh my god. No. Okay, I don't like that at all.
Sorry, any Lauren Smiths that are listening. I'm sure you are actually very beautiful and wonderful.
Sorry, G.
No, go ahead.
Liesl, what is your least favorite TikTok trend?
This is not really a trend so much as it is one single person. Lil Huddy. I hate Lil Huddy and I hate the Hype House. Like, anything that has anything to do with the Hype House, you know, obviously not like Addison and Charlie, like, whatever, they can get a pass. But, like, anyone who you're in the Hype House and I don't know your name, or, like, you talk about the Hype House or, like, anything like that. Specifically also, like, when these people be, like, thirsty on TikTok and, like, try to act sexy. Like, when Lil Huddy, like, bites his lip and, like, acts sexy, I get so upset.
We are sorry. This storm that we have been mentioning throughout this podcast is now potentially audible to you. So,
yeah, it definitely is.
We do apologize for that.
Okay, well, maybe I can cover up the sounds of the storm. I definitely will not be able to, but I'll try with my worst, least favorite TikTok trend, which was the two pretty best friends, man. I really don't like him. His face scares me.
Well, no, I understand his face is scary, but, like, that trend of, like, getting people, like, it's like a Rick roll. Like, it is funny, and it's a tale as old as time.
Yeah,
it wasn't for me, especially because my two best friends are beautiful, so it just doesn't apply to me, and anything that doesn't apply to me, obviously, I don't like. Just kidding.
Right.
But that was not my favorite, and it was so overused that I was like, okay, moving on.
That's okay. Fair.
Next one, Scandal. Liesl, what was your favorite scandal?
My favorite scandal is just Trisha Paytas doing anything. I love Trisha Paytas. I love watching her do her thing, be crazy. Like, I know she's problematic and she's done a lot of things that are bad. She's also tried to apologize for a lot of them, and just anything on the Frenemies podcast, her beef with Charlie. I was highly entertained by that.
I was going to say Trisha trying to take down Charlie and James Charles single-handedly.
Yeah. Like, I just love Trisha. So
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, Jay, what's yours?
I couldn't really come up with a good one. I agree with Liesl that I like Trisha Paytas and anything she's involved in and the drama that she stirs up. I did put Meghan and Harry leaving.
Megxit. That was actually my least favorite.
Oh, really?
I'm still confused by it.
Well, I'm a little confused by it, but here's why I like it. I, first of all, do like to be dialed into the royal family. I am fascinated by their lives and, you know, everything. And I like that they've come to the dark side. They've come to California.
Right.
You know, that's what I like. And I like that, you know, theoretical royalty is now really here in California, which it felt like it was about damn time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. My favorite was Lori Loughlin being sent to prison.
Oh, Lily, that's the best one. That's the best one.
I mean, like, yeah. we care deeply about that topic. Like, first of all, justice, like, she's in prison. I mean, not for that long, but she is in prison. And I was just so tuned in. Like, the fact that we got to see it happen, all of that was my favorite. We got a red table talk. Okay, and now for your least favorite scandal. Gigi, tell me.
My least favorite scandal was towards the beginning of quarantine when all the celebrities decided to get together and sing Imagine.
Gigi, that is so accurate. That is mine. Like, Gal Gadot, it's your fault. She got all of her weird celebrity friends to sing Imagine. You know,
thank you for putting the blame where it was deserved.
I don't blame any of the other celebrities who were in it.
No, I blame them too. I don't know if anyone knows Casey Frey, who's so hilarious from Vine. He did an Instagram skit of him like pretending to be called in. He's like, okay, so like, what are we doing here? Like, we're trying to evoke like empathy and like, we're just trying to feel bad for people. Like, okay. Imagine. And like, does it. And it's like, it is just so accurate of like these celebrities being like, okay, well, we'll be done in like 10 minutes. Right. Like just quick wrap up. And then they get on and sing their like 15-second clip of Imagine and their like just bad sounding voices. Like, oh, we're helping right now. And we're helping.
Like, it's not like she got only singers together. She got like actors, comedians, like some singers.
No and,
like,
one needed that.
Some of the singers, like Sia, I'm talking about you, like went way too hard and it just did not flow. Like it was literally like burning my ears when I listened to it.
And it was just like, who do you guys think you're helping? You're all in your mansions. Like not, like no one
is feeling like, oh my God, thank you. Like I am going to imagine.
It was so tone deaf.
Yeah, so tone deaf in more ways than one.
Okay,
my least favorite scandal, this is a me problem, not a world problem, but the whole Tiger King thing, I never watched Tiger King. I was frankly just so afraid of the way that he looked and the characters that I could not get into it, and I didn't like it. So it was my least favorite.
I mean, I personally loved being involved in the Tiger King dynasty.
I can admit, like, this is a me problem. I'll take the hate for it.
I mean, I'm not going to give you hate, but that's just you being close-minded.
No, and I own
up. Yeah, and the fact that you're scared of the way he looks, like, that, like, you're judging him based on his shell.
Don't judge him with that cover, Lily.
I'll take the hate. It's a me. It wasn't for me.
And as I said, my least favorite was Megxit. Like, I'm just still confused. Like, I don't understand. Like, couldn't you have just, like, been royal from California? Like, can't you still just do royal shit? Like, did Meghan, like, know that by marrying and doing this big royal wedding, then that they were just going to back out? Like, I'm just...
Yeah, I am
confused.
Have...
But I go back and forth because, like, after watching The Crown, like, I am like, I get it. He's the second in line to the throne. Like, or he's no longer the second in line to the throne because there's three kids. He's now fifth. So it's kind of like, might as well leave. But I'm just weirded out by it. And I just kind of wish we had more clarity.
And like logistically, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. So our next category is food. Lily, yes. Would you like to share with us your best food of 2020?
Yeah, I ate the best meal of my entire life in 2020. It was a crepe I ate in Paris. Anyone who knows me knows that I will not stop talking about this. I have mentioned it since eating it in March approximately 100 times. I look at pictures of it. It was a dinner crepe. There was chicken and other items in it. And it is the single best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. Wow. That is all.
That's beautiful, Lily. My number one food of this year that I think I ate more days than not is beautiful porridge bread from Tartine. This is available at Whole Foods and they also have their own little stores and shops. I just love this bread. Like I could just eat it and only that type of bread probably for the rest of my life and be okay.
So my food of 2020, it's not the best thing I've ever eaten by far, but it's a food that I welcome back into my life after several years of not enjoying. And I know for the three of us, it was an important food of 2020, which was turkey sandwiches. It was, you know, mm-hmm. I would say there were very few days in the year of 2020 that not any of us had a turkey
sandwich.
Or like a turkey roll up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turkey meatballs. Like
we eat a lot of, but like not, like, I don't want to say turkey, not like Thanksgiving. It's
no,
like,
no. It's either like turkey for deli meat sandwiches or like turkey meatballs or like.
Right. Meat. Another one that I think gets honorable mention is banana bread because that was such a quarantine item.
Yeah.
That like everyone was just, you know, going crazy making their banana bread in quarantine.
Yeah.
Totally.
So not to kill the vibe, but the worst food I had in 2020 is also one of the worst things I've ever consumed. It was a drink. It was a beetroot latte, which sounds fine. And being someone
doesn't
who...
doesn't sound fine. Sounds
okay.
Weird.
Okay, it is. Being someone who I like beets, I also think I'm kind of adventurous with food. Like, I'm not a picky eater in my mind, but if either of you disagree, I will let you.
Lily, you're a picky eater in a certain type of way. You have very specific tastes, but you'll pretty much eat anything.
I was gonna say maybe that is true, Lisa. Like, you know, we do need to keep it in check that there Lily does have certain things that she can be picky about. But I think in the grand scheme of things, you're very open-minded when it comes to food and you're not scared of anything and you're pretty likely to like stuff.
Yes. I feel like it's more like the hate that you do share for the small amount of items that you do hate is it screams volumes.
Okay, fair. Anyways, this just goes to show that like I'm not someone, just like Gigi said, who's closed-minded.
Yeah, you're willing to try the beetroot.
So I was like, okay, I like beets and it's hot pink, which is right up my alley. No, it was bitter. It was bad. I took maybe 3 sips. It gave me a stomach ache. It looked gorgeous, tasted terrible. That is all.
My least favorite food of this year is the Skinny Pop butter flavor popcorn. I love Skinny Pop popcorn, the normal regular flavor. I love popcorn in general. It's one of my favorite foods, but this butter flavoring that they put on, I just think is really, really gross.
Unfortunately, this was the one category that I had to leave blank because I genuinely couldn't think of anything that I really hated on that much this year. Like, I feel like especially considering most of the year, it was pretty much just either, oh, you know what, actually, I'm now realizing I have one that I can come up with, which I think both of you, Lily more so than Liesl, will get offended by this. Grilled cheeses are something that I used to love with a passion.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't still like them, but I had kind of an unsavory experience with a grilled cheese in quarantine. And it kind of turned me off of grilled cheeses. That's not to say that I don't like grilled cheeses in general, but it's more so just that to have such a sacred food fall from graces. I was gonna say fall from such great heights. I think it's deserving of the foods. Because what I was gonna say is that, like, considering for most of the year, like, I was basically just making food for myself at home at the whim of my own appetite. Like, you pretty much, most people who are like working from home or doing school from home had constant access to whatever was in your kitchen. So you can just kind of eat whatever you want to eat. You know, like, that I didn't have to come face to face with that many foods that I didn't like. So I think it is a good example of grilled cheese where I'm like, this is a food that, you know, used to really be just one of the best. And like, I had, like I said, kind of a bad experience with it this year, which was really unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm not offended. I am just disappointed.
I'm a little bit offended. Yeah, I am. Okay, Liesl, what was your favorite app of 2020?
Of course, TikTok. I mean, I just don't, there's no other app that would compare.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was too.
Mine was TikTok. And then another one that I'd like to add, which I know Lily feels strongly about as well, is the app Dark Sky, which is the weather app. It's very, very accurate and has great, like, hourly precipitation, hourly temperature.
Was 2020 the year that Dark Sky was brought into your life?
I knew about Dark Sky for many years, but I was always just kind of like, I can get by on the free app from Apple. But then I needed it. I was meant to go on a boat one day and I wound up going on said boat, but I was literally checking the hourly chance of rain, like, up to like day of, and it was Dark Sky specifically that helped me through that tough time.
I have known people to plan their weddings, well, just one couple to plan their wedding around the Dark Sky weather prediction. I trust that app with everything. It is so accurate.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. And Gigi, what is your stargazing app called?
Oh yeah. Well, I have two actually. There's one that's called like Starry Night, And then one that's like night sky camera. Mm-hmm. So the night sky camera does a long exposure on your phone, which is pretty cool. So you can take photos of stars and it like will actually capture the light of the stars much better. And then the other one, which I'm pretty sure is called Starry Night or something like that, is the one where you can basically like put your screen up to the sky and it will actually like geolocate the constellations that are right above your person,
which is really fun and like cool to see. Really cool. Another honorable mention in my opinion is an app that we've more recently come to love, which is called Lumosity. It's a brain game app that our mom was interested in, and then we all sort of became slowly but surely more and more obsessed with. Lily just got it yesterday, so she can't necessarily speak to the full range of the addiction, but if you're looking to play some fun games, you get a free trial, and then after that it's like a monthly cost. But if you're looking to work on your attention, your memory, your speed, your flexibility, like, listen, it's just a fun thing
I'll say. Yeah, I'm not really convinced that it's doing anything for my mental like capacity, right? Which maybe it is, but
I think it is.
I'm not,
especially the math and the language.
Sure, I'm not yet totally convinced, but at the very least I have fun playing it, so like might as well.
Totally. Yeah, it is very fun. Okay, I'm gonna start with my worst app because I am, it's fresh. So I was honored, humbled, so excited to be accepted to what I'm gonna call an elite and exclusive dating app called Locks Club. I found out about this app from my favorite app, TikTok, and a young woman on the app was saying it's the Raya of Jewish people. So it is designed for elite Jewish people, and being an elite Jewish person myself, I said, this calls my name. You apply, unsure whether or not you actually have to be accepted, but it took about, I don't know, 2 weeks and I was accepted. You have to pay to be on it. This was certainly
not if you're a boy.
Not if you're a boy. Sexism at its finest, because you get a free trial if you are a boy. But I did not get offered that free trial. So I made the worst purchase of 2020 and I spent money to get myself on this app. All of the people on it, no offense if any of you are listening, are ugly. And I'm really not interested in having this anymore, but being that I did pay for it, I feel like I have to use it. Worst purchased, worst app. I'm bored of it. They also make you wait, like you swipe through a few people and then they're like, okay, wait until you see the next group of people. And I'm frustrated by a lot.
Here's what I have to say about Locks Club is like, the idea is not bad. Like, you know, there's a lot of Jewish young people who are looking to meet and connect with other Jewish young people. And maybe if they can get a larger inventory of people onto that app where you don't have, like, I'm sorry, but like a dating app needs to have endless options. Like locking up, you know, being like Lily, like literally gets to swipe through three young Jewish men. And then it's like, all right, come back in 24 hours and you get three more swipe throughs. You know, like that's so lame. And look, you're paying for that. Like that's literally horrible.
I do also think
it's- But there's room for improvement is all I'm saying is like, the people at Locks Club, like get some more people on there and maybe like don't make people pay when you're still like in the baby stages of your app, you know?
And look, I'm not going to attribute this solely to everyone else because this could be partially a flaw on my part, but I have matched with a grand total of 2 individuals on this app.
You've been on it for a couple weeks
now. Yeah. That's not, I understand I am not perfect. Not everyone is swiping right on me. I'm not swiping right on everyone. But like, I think their business model of like making people wait is really deterring people to not come on the app.
Making people wait and making people pay.
Especially like if I got on Tinder right now, I could have 2 dates tonight.
Right. Like Locks Club, there's the odds are so bad.
Well, not only have I matched with 2 people, we've exchanged no messages. It was just match and leave. So there's so many flaws and it has so much potential. I was so excited to apply when I got accepted. I felt like a movie star. and I'm really let down. So Locks Club makers, developers, please improve. Maybe you can work your way up to best app of 2021.
Probably not though. Sorry guys. My worst was Map My Run.
That was also mine.
Like literally garbage. First of all, the fact that that annoying ass woman tells you every single statistic about your mile. She's literally like, this on mile one, this mile's average pace, this mile's split pace, this mile was blah, 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 do, do, do. I don't care. Stop talking to me so I can listen to my freaking music. And when we did our 10K run, Matt My Run kept quitting on me, kept freaking out, kept not working. And it was honestly just such a deterrent.
You have to like just throw Matt My Run in the trash, like the garbage that it is, and get Strava. As much as I don't know how I feel about the like social media kind of aspect of Strava, like it is a good app and it maps my stuff well and it shows me my achievements and, you know, people can give me my kudos on my run or my bike ride or whatever. So, you know, for that, for those reasons, I am ditching Map My Run in 2020 and I am getting on Strava in 2021.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. Okay, now moving on to memory. Liesl, what was your most favoritest memory of 2020?
So I really struggled to come up with one memory in particular, but I decided to just go with a classic quarantine memory, which were our bleacher hangs.
Oh, yeah.
We would walk to these bleachers in our neighborhood, and they're pretty equidistant between both of our houses. And, you know, this is when it was just really OG lockdown mode, and we would just have so much fun. We did TikToks there. We would dance around. Like, it was very safe. There weren't many people around at all. And there was
we weren't coming into contact with each other, really.
Yeah, we weren't getting close or getting into close contact. And it's funny that, like, back then, it was still no masks. Like, masks, we thought, like, oh, masks don't work against COVID because they were telling us some lies at that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the bleacher hangs just, like, in general will always hold a special place in my heart.
Totally.
Well, I love that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I didn't even think about that.
Mine, I'm going to say March 14th, which I know like for some March 13th is like the last day. But for me, March 14th in San Luis Obispo, like that was the last day where I got drunk with my friends and it was like technically St. Fratty's Day. So like got drunk with my friends at like 5 a.m. and just like kind of did some dumb shit.
At 5 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Like you started at 5 a.m. or you ended at 5 a.m.?
You start at 5 a.m. And I was just like throughout so much of quarantine, I was like so grateful that we got to have that last hurrah. Like we didn't even know it was until like, you know, a little bit after. Another one for me is November 7th, specifically because that's the day that Biden was announced for sure our next president. And also that's the day when I celebrated my 22nd birthday on a boat. It was boats for Biden, bitches for Biden, boobies out for Biden. It was everything for Biden on November 7th. So that also shines in my memory as a great, great memory of 2020.
Well, to piggyback right off of that, I have a few, one of which was the day that Biden was proclaimed our president. I got to go to the Capitol building of the capital city of Wisconsin. And it was like such a cool experience that I feel like I will never forget because I really felt like I was part of everything and the dancing and the cheering. And it was so fun. My next favorite memory was getting tattooed because that just feels like such a big deal that I did that this year.
And it was fun. There was a lot of anticipation, excitement.
Adrenaline was at an all-time high. My final one was going to Disneyland Paris in the vortex months that we referred to. It was the same trip when I ate the crepe. And it was such a beautiful, fantastic day. And it was right when the pandemic was getting bad. So looking back on it, I'm like, what the fuck was I doing? But it's very similar to your experience, G, where I'm like, I am so thankful I had that day of normalcy.
Yeah.
And then to have to stay inside after that, I just got to look through pictures and remember how much fun I was having.
And also even at that time, like I get what you're saying that like looking back on it now, you're like, that was so dumb. But like, we didn't even know the nature of the virus at that time. So like, you wouldn't, I mean, of course, being in an amusement park or like being around a bunch of people is like pretty obviously not smart, but you get what I'm saying, that like you didn't even know like what, like in what ways the virus would be even possible to get to you.
There was like very limited information, but I will admit that I had people telling me I should not go. And in Europe, it was much worse than it was here
at that time.
So like it was a questionable decision, but at the end of the day, there was so much unknown, which is why everyone was like, oh, it's fine. Like we don't know what this virus is. We don't know what's going on. You'll probably be fine. I was fine.
Yeah.
And I do not promote any behavior like that now, but in the moment it was a great decision and one of my very best memories from this year.
Awesome. So now we're going to move on to our least favorite memories. We are going to keep this pretty light. We're not going to go into the very worst depths of 2020. We know that a lot of people have lost loved ones and we don't want to necessarily dwell on anything that's too sad or too personal or too emotional. But my least favorite memory that I chose for this year was when we found out that our summer program that we work for is canceled.
Yeah,
the fact that the kids that we know and love so dearly and our coworkers who we know and love so dearly that we wouldn't get to have like the summer of amazing fun that we could have had.
Yeah.
Like that was just, it was just tragic on so many levels. And it was just also when it really sunk in, like this is taking over this year. Like summer is canceled, you know, as we know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a horrible one. I did not even think about that either. Drew, what's yours?
Mine is like kind of March 15th, which is, you know, like it's technically speaking, like the worst day. To be fair, I think that day was kind of lit because it was like, oh no, finals, like sick, you know, that kind of thing. But then also like the reality setting in of no spring quarter, no summer, no fall quarter, no anything. Like, and again, kind of as you're saying, Liesl, like when we knew that our summer program wouldn't be happening, when we knew that it wouldn't be over until like, you know, even a few months from today, as we are speaking right now, it's like that when that reality hit, that's kind of least favorite memory.
Definitely. Yeah. Mine is being shipped out of Spain.
Yeah.
That's, that's
awful. That honestly, that makes my honorable mentions because I was, you know, having the secondhand worry for Lily, like of her, like literally fearing for being able to get out of the continent of Europe.
Just for some context, this was in the brief period of time where Trump misspoke and said that he would be closing the borders to any foreign travel. I was studying abroad in Spain and I was drunk at a club at 3 a.m. I had no cell service because we were in the basement of the club. I came out to approximately 45 missed calls from my mom, called her back in the taxi home being like, hi, like what's up? And she's like, you need to get on a plane in the next 10 hours. The borders are closing. You will not be able to get home. Crying, frantic. I mean, obviously I made it. Everything is fine. Again, Trump misspoke, but that fear, it is the single most stressful 24 hours of my life. And I'm very grateful to have made it home alive. Right.
And like more, like even more than that, like that was stressful in and of itself. But like on top of that, the fact that your study abroad experience was being cut short, like that, as much as you did get to travel a fair bit. You did get to experience living in Barca for sure. Like, I feel like Gigi and I can both attest to the fact that like the last month or even like 2 months of studying abroad was like a very fun and like special time. And there's like still like a lot to experience and do when you're abroad. Even if you've already been there for 2 months or whatever. So like, I totally get that. I think that was a great answer.
Gigi, who is your favorite celebrity of 2020?
I would say probably Dua Lipa. Obviously she was just like massive icon of 2020 with, you know, her music that she put out this year. And she's been, you know, a staple for a few years now that people have looked to in terms of fashion, in terms of all these different things. But I just think she's super cool and awesome. Another person who I liked in 2020 was Miley Cyrus. I feel like we got some new stuff out of Miley this year that like really kind of rocked my world. So she's another honorable mention for celebrity this year.
I definitely agree. Miley was on my short list, but she didn't make my number one slot. Actually, my number one and my least favorite are from the same family.
Oh.
My number one favorite was Kim Kardashian. Something about like the way that she has been working with people who are incarcerated and people who are in death row and all of that stuff while still being Kim Kardashian, maintaining her entire, you know, empire and having companies and just like, obviously there are problematic things related to the Kardashians for sure. But like, I just think like year by year, she continues to impress me with her social justice like work. And I just think that like, she should be a model for more celebrities to like really take on like social justice issues and like really like entrench themselves in these issues and like work on really trying to fight them. Like what other celebrities are like working as hard and like as passionately as Kim does with her, you know, people that she wants to help.
For sure.
That's a great one. My favorite celebrity of 2020 is Jason Derulo. I developed a Jason Derulo obsession in 2020 due to his TikToks. He made my celebrity crush list in our one of our love episodes, and that was something that blossomed in this wonderful year. But there was also a celebrity who I did not feel so fondly
tell for. Us who it is.
Ben Platt. I knew that was going to be the reaction, just like how I developed a Jason Derulo love in 2020. I developed a Ben Platt hatred in 2020 due to his work on The Politician. I love The Politician and I have a lot of admiration for his singing. I think he is incredibly talented. I think he's pompous. I think he's annoying. And I really just don't, we don't vibe. Not for me. No,
Lily
no.
has also gone on the record to say that she thinks he's like the ugliest person alive.
I was trying Lily to be gentle.
Compares people who on how pretty or ugly they are to Ben Platt.
Which, by the way, I think it is important to note that like Lily really doesn't like Ben Platt's personality, so she has no problem hating on his looks. Yeah. It would be a different story if he had a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
And Ben Platt did low-key attend one of our less favorite high schools in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which
that has a reputation for creating arrogant robots.
And he right. embodies that reputation. Like, if you right. didn't yeah, know totally what it does. Was, look to Ben Platt.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Liesl, your least favorite celebrity of 2020?
So part of the Kardashian family. Actually, honestly, two members that I will shout out. Scott Disick. Blech. I liked Scott Disick before this year. I felt fine about him. Now I think he's awful, garbage, trash. And Kourtney Kardashian. I was pretty neutral towards her before this year. I even thought she was pretty funny on the TV show every once in a while. Now that she's friends with 15-year-old Addison Rae, I know she's not actually 15. I think it's weird, creepy, weird. I don't like it. Just go be with your children. Don't be with Addison Rae. Like, I think it's so weird that, like, she basically just, like, was like, oh, Mason likes TikTok. Mason has a crush probably on Addison Rae, this 19-year-old TikToker. Let me just befriend her and, like, make her part of my family. Weird.
Yeah, weird that both Kourtney and Scott have obsessions with 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
Mason Disick, also, I don't like you. Kendall Jenner, we don't like you.
Her, yeah,
but that's not a new thing. That's not, like, 2020.
Right.
My celebrity who I don't like is Camille Rowe for multiple reasons. I think she's really annoying and arrogant. She pretends to not like be American, but like, bitch, you grew up in New York and California and Paris. Like, okay, we get it. And also I just like, don't like her vibe. Of course, considering Fine Line by Harry Styles is almost entirely about Camille Rowe makes me hate her. Like, my blood boils when I listen to those songs and they're so lovingly speaking about Camille Rowe. I'm like, that's really just not okay or allowed in any way, shape or form. Camille Rowe, you're on my list. Don't come near me.
Wow. That was so powerful, Gigi. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, fashion trends. What were our favorites, Gigi?
Mine would be claw clip hair accessory. I think everyone got to know and love the claw clip or banana clip, whatever you prefer to call it, hair accessory. I think it's like so useful and like such a wonderful tool, but also like super cute accessory that everyone, like, it just makes everyone look cute in my opinion. Then also funky colors and psychedelic patterns made my list because I do feel like that's just been kind of a theme of 2020. Like, everyone's just kind of been going for those funky patterns and funky colors, psychedelic stuff. So I'm just loving that.
Totally. My fashion trend, which isn't really fashion, is actually also related to hair. I just thought that the hair trends of this year were really fun and fresh. I really enjoyed the trend of the light to light.
Oh yeah, pieces. That's a good one, Liesl.
I really enjoyed like when people were doing that during quarantine and like just that look. Like Dua Lipa had some really fun hair, and Chamberlain had fun hair.
The way that people were doing half,
like mm-hmm. you know, obviously Charlie D'Amelio had like some fun hair going on, and I feel like fashion-wise, 2020 wasn't a great year because the majority of people have just been wearing pajamas and sweatpants. But with our hair, we're having quite a bit of fun. Curtain bangs, like there's a lot of fun stuff going on.
I feel like people really went there with their hair, which I love.
Yeah, so fun.
Mine was 2-in-1. It was tie-dye and sweatsuits and tie-dye sweatsuits in general. I love those.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
And our least favorite of 2020 fashion trend.
Ugh, mine is biker shorts in a real outfit. Like, I have no issue with, like, exercising in them, but, like, when you wear it normally, like, you know what I mean? Specifically in bright colors, that's a no for me.
I understand, you know, this is not the first time I've heard this opinion, and I can understand it, but I personally don't mind this trend. Like, I've definitely worn it myself, and I don't, dislike it on other people.
I don't mind that trend at all. My least favorite trend is hype beast sort of sneakers. Especially on like girls. Like I just really specifically like those Dior, like I don't know if they're Air Force Ones or if they were like a different type of Nike, like clunky clunk shoe. I'm just so over the clunky clunk, the dad shoe. And like I feel like that was like at least it was an interesting trend in 2019. Like at least we could be like, this is something unique and different that people are like chonking out their sneakers. But like now, like when I see a girl with like just these like massive like cinder blocks on her feet and they're like neon orange and like white and like dad sneakers, I hate them.
One that I sort of agree with but don't agree with, like even within myself, is fashion face masks. Because like in some ways I do like fashion face masks. Like the ones that I like obviously, and like I think are cute. And you know, I can't even count the amount of times I've been like, oh, I love your mask. Because like, I genuinely do think the pattern is cute. The fabric is cute. The cut is cute, whatever it might be. But I think there are some people whose fashion masks I really don't care for.
That's a good one. I don't like any masks that have words. No. I don't really care what the words are. I don't want to read something on your face. I find it uncomfortable and weird.
And also, like, this one, again, is, like, an iffy thing where if you have the mask chain, like, then maybe the mask chain is okay. But for some people, the mask chain's not okay.
Gigi, mask chains is written on mine, and I couldn't decide if I want to share it or not because I feel iffy on it. But there's something where I'm just like a little bit no.
Okay, then this other trend is one that I hate. And I didn't even like think of it until I Googled like 2020 trends or fashion trends or whatever. And I didn't even know what the name of this was. It's a bolero. Are you guys familiar with this?
It's the bolero tie?
No. Wait, it's like the thing where you literally like you wear a crop top, but then you have like this strip of neckline and full sleeves, but then you have like,
oh, I know what you're talking
this
about.
Like your
it's
cleavage.
Like a window cutout.
It but like it's the cleave. It's not even a window cutout. It's like you add the sleeves and neckline.
Oh, to,
you know, like it's that's what it is.
It's oh like, yes, it's I
like
know.
The sleeves look like they're like cut off, but like they're like just sewed on the armpit.
Yes.
Well, basically, but like you could buy that piece as like its own thing is what I learned.
All right.
Is like you buy the bolero, which is the, just the long sleeves.
Wait, what's the tie called? A bolo tie?
A bolo tie.
Oh, okay, bolo tie.
But that.
That's what I thought you were talking about. I was
no,
like,
no. That 2020 trend of the just sleeves with the boob cut out makes me really upset.
Ugly, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, since this episode was all about reflecting back on 2020 and all of the things that we loved and hated about the year of 2020, we wanted to do our next episode all about looking forward into 2021. So all three of us individually are going to spend some time over the next few days reflecting on our 2020, what went well, what didn't, what we want to see for ourselves in the beautiful year of 2021, and thinking about that. So we would love to recommend to all of you who are listening to do the same. Take a few minutes by yourself, a few hours, do some journaling, do some self-reflection, and just really think about what you want to achieve, where you want to go, where you want to see yourself in a year from today. And I think that this would be a really cool activity for us to all do as a little sophomore citizens community.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening to Sophomore Citizens, the podcast by young people for young people, with new episodes probably every weekish. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and on YouTube and on TikTok. And you can send us an email at sophomorecitizens@gmail.com. And you can definitely leave us a 5-star review.